You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, Red Sox have had a couple of nicks and bumps here early in camp. How is Rusny Castillo doing?
He's doing okay. You know, it's just those oblique injuries. They're a little tricky sometimes and exactly when you're ready. Usually it's better to take a couple extra days to be sure. So, you know, he is taking batting practice and he's starting to throw a little bit. So, you know, I would think maybe another few days here. Yes, not a major injury, just more of a nagging injury.
And likewise, Shane Victorino is back. That was very minor, just early spring soreness kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think initially there's a little bit of a red flag when you see the guy coming off back surgery. He's had some durability questions for a week or two, and then all of a sudden you get to the park one day when he's supposed to be playing, and he's not in the lineup. But everyone says it's just general soreness, and you know sometimes you can be skeptical when you get something like that. But just given his demeanor, he's been so happy all spring, and that hasn't changed the last few days. So he's in great shape. I think he's very excited for this year, and that really was just a bump in the road in his body telling him that he hadn't played much baseball over the last year. But, all systems seem go for Shane Victorino.
I know it's very early in games, but I also know it's a question that the staff is surely trying to answer on an everyday basis. Are we any closer to having any kind of clarity on this outfield logjam?
Yeah, Matthew. I mean, I really think the way that it's shaping up, all things being equal, and Shane Victorino being healthy, is that you're going to have Hanley Ramirez in left, Mookie Betts in center, and Victorino in right. And I think that you're going to have Craig and Nava, you know, as the extra guys. And I think that Rusney Castillo is probably going to start the year down at AAA. You know, now they can use this oblique as a little bit of an excuse to say, he missed some at-bats in spring training, and let's just give him some extra time to get his feet wet. Rusney Castillo still hasn't played a ton of baseball the last couple of years. So I think some regular bats in AAA could help him. And, he's good protection if one of the other guys gets hurt or gets traded. But I think that's the way it's shaped, because they really like Mookie Betts right now. He's given them no reason to think he can't be both their leadoff hitter and their center fielder right now. So at least to me, that seems to be the way it's shaping up.
Now, if Castillo goes down, that actually complicates another matter. It's insanely early, but it seems like Jackie Bradley Jr. has shown some signs of life at the plate at this very early juncture. How does he fit into all of this? And if Castillo is playing center in AAA, does that maybe magnify the pressure to trade Bradley somewhere?
Yeah, a little bit, and I think that Bradley could get traded. That's certainly possible. But, if he can't find the right trade right away, he is also a very good right fielder. So you can mix and match those two guys a little bit between center and right. But, yeah, Bradley's looked good this spring so far, but they just don't have a place to put him. And it seems like they're all in on Mookie Betts right now. So, yeah, I kind of expect that Bradley to be, maybe in one of these spring training deals at some point. They're just maybe waiting for him they're waiting to showcase him a little more this spring and waiting to see kind of what deal comes along. But yeah, I think that he'll get traded.
Is it safe to say, as it looks to me from just kind of looking at a depth chart and looking at the future, not only in the short term, it's hard to see even a long-term future for Bradley with the Red Sox, isn't it? I mean, where does the guy play?
Yeah, he really doesn't fit in because, you have Hanley Ramirez for the next several years, occupying left fields. You have Mookie Betts in center, and next year even Victorino's going to be gone next year. So then you're going to have you have Rusney Castillo as your third guy, and who knows what's going to happen with Alan Craig? Even he might be still around. So yeah, I don't see any place in this organization right now for Jackie Bradley. So right now I do think it's just a case of, hey, showcase him all you want for other teams who want to watch the Red Sox this spring, and then I think make the best deal you can get for Bradley. By the end of camp.
Clay Buchholz's debut was certainly encouraging, it seems like, with the same caveat that we're going to have used in 10 podcasts over the last 2 days and will continue to for a couple of weeks. It is early, but was it safe to say that was pretty encouraging to see what you saw from Buchholz in his debut this spring?
Yeah, Buchholz was always a big swing guy for this team in terms of, sometimes they seem to go where he goes. And you remember in 2013, a lot of people didn't know what to make of the Red Sox going into that year. And he just came out with gangbusters, like gangbusters that year, and was the best pitcher in the league for the first couple months of the season. Red Sox got off to a really good start. So I think that they're kind of hoping that 2 years later that history can kind of repeat itself from Buchholz. And he does seem like he knows the opportunity is there for, hey, I can sort of take over this step. I can be the guy. He's never been the guy. He's always had a Lester or a Beckett or somebody like that in front of him. And now, he went around and handed out shirts to all the guys on the team that says, he's the ace, and it had that individual picture on the back of their shirt. So I think that Clay Buchholz is trying to take a leadership role and trying to encourage his teammates in that rotation. And right now the key thing is he's throwing the ball really well and has no health problems.
You have written, I think more than once even, about what people are saying about Matt Barnes early here in camp. What are we seeing with this guy?
Yeah, you're seeing a guy who has a lot more life on his fastball than he did when you saw him late last season when they called him up in September. And fastball at that point was more low 90s, and people forget also that Matt Barnes had he kind of went through the dead arm last year in spring training, and it took him a while to sort of catch up with that. So his arm was never totally right, I don't think, last year, but right now you're seeing the Matt Barnes who can, looks like he can be a pretty good pitcher in the major leagues. And it's the old age-old dilemma right now with Matt Barnes, where they do have some openings in the bullpen, and it's a little bit intriguing to maybe think about him back there, but at the same time, hey, this guy's one of our best starting pitching prospects. Probably Matt Barnes and Henry Owens are the top two starting pitching prospects. So you want to stunt his development now by putting him in the bullpen to fill a need. I think right now, still a better chance that Barnes starts the year in the starting rotation just so he can complete his development, because he's only an injury or two away from the Red Sox needing him as a starter at the major league level. So I think that's still the preference right now.
Would that be different if they didn't have such a slew of arms in camp for bullpen options?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now you look at the Red Sox and you have Koji Uehara and you have Junichi Tozawa and you have, it looks like, a healthy Alexei Agando and, some other guys. You can throw out the Vavaro, who's been pretty impressive so far. So you do have depth of arms. But it's one of those things where I think if one of those, if an Agando got hurt during camp or Tozawa got hurt, I think that's when you really would look at a Barnes and say, oh, boy, this guy might be just what we need to help fill the void in the bullpen. But, right now, like you say, I think they feel good about the cast of arms they have out there.
Excuse me. You had identified Ogando as a guy to really keep an eye on before camp started. What have you seen? Does a guy look healthy? Does he look normal?
He does look healthy. I mean, his first spring training game there against the Twins last week, he was hitting 95 on the gun, which is exactly what they wanted to see for a guy who was coming off an elbow injury and just didn't pitch well at all last year. But, Agando seems to have regained his health, and this guy is a real weapon when he's healthy. I think that sometimes, a guy has one bad year where he falls off the map a little bit because of injuries, and you forget, how much of a weapon a guy can be. So, they feel really good about him right now.
While we're making way too much of a week, numbers certainly look good for Xander Bogaerts, and the numbers were sort of a jumping off point, but he's a guy I've been thinking about. Given what seems to be stability, what seems to be a normal position, a year to consolidate, do you think it's reasonable to have expectations that maybe this guy really kind of has a big breakout this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the people are waiting for Bogaerts to have a big breakout last year, based on what he had done in the playoffs the year before. And, I think maybe he just had too much on him last year where he was, people forgot he was only 21 years old at the time. And he was learning a lot of nuances as far as defense in terms of, what it takes to be successful at the major league level over a full season. He had experienced it in short spurts, but he hadn't made all those adjustments. And the real encouraging thing to me watching Bogaerts right now offensively, anybody can put up stats in spring training and hit, wind-blown homers, over the left field wall. We see it all the time. But he is hitting the ball hard to center and right center. And, when a right-handed hitter is doing that, that is usually a very good sign. So looks very confident at the plate. He's moving around well on defense. He still looks to me like he's trying to find his throwing mechanics a little bit. He's thrown a couple in the dirt that, Napoli is such a good first baseman. He's picked them up a couple times. So I think the arm, that's where a lot of his errors were last year. So I think that's the main thing, is that he's still working out his, some kinks in his throwing in the spring.
He's a guy who had a pretty good strike zone in the minors and then really struggled, struck out an awful lot last year, didn't walk much. Is that one of the priorities for him, to kind of reclaim being a guy with a good strike zone? And do you think that's something he has in him to do at the major league level?
Yeah, you know, Bogaerts has a very good eye. And we all remember in the playoffs a couple of years ago, you know, he hadn't played at all in the playoffs. On his first at bat, he drew a huge walk. I think it was against Jake McGee there in Tropicana Field, and had a few at bats like that in that postseason. So, yeah, I think last year was just a classic case of a young guy kind of feeling a little pressure, trying to do a little too much. He was also part of an offense that barely scored last year. And this year, I think he's part of an offense that's going to be a pretty good offense, and he's not going to feel all the pressure he felt last year. I mean, here's a guy who's probably going to bat seventh, and I think you're just going to see a lot more of a relaxed baseball player, and I do think he'll get back to that guy who gets on base a lot.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.TV for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.